104.1 FM, where FM means your favorite music.
Good afternoon, everybody. Flight to Classics is brought to you today by 4Play Deli Sheraton Mall and this radio station, The Beat 104 in a class by itself.
Trini Guyanese cuisine at its best.
4Play Deli's got it.
We've got that taste you won't forget.
4Play Deli.
Oh, how we aim to please ya. We wrap the rotis in front of ya. Great service with a smile, got your taste buds going wild. Rice and beef, salt, fish, chicken, lamb, and doubles on the list. You just can't refuse it at 4Play Deli. We got the taste you won't forget.
4Play Deli, located in Sheraton Mall.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard Flight 104 to Classics. Today, our aircraft is under the command of Captain Phil Forrester. The captain has informed me that our flying time will be approximately 3 hours to Classics International Airport. At this time, we ask that you fasten your seatbelts and increase the volume levels in your system as we perform our demonstration. Thank you for your attention. We will be airborne shortly.
Oh yeah, I like it a lot. Very good afternoon, everybody. Captain Forrester is once again in the cockpit of this magnificent aircraft, and we are heading to Classics International Airport. Flying time to our destination is 3 hours, and as always, we'll be soaring to an incredulous altitude of 104,000 feet. Oh yeah. Now, this afternoon, we'll take off towards the east. We'll be using runway 09, and at 2,500 feet, we'll make that left turn over the northeastern coast of Barbados, and those sitting to the left of the aircraft will obviously see the Wyndham Samuels Castle Hotel and the Animal Flower Cave as well, the Bridgetown Port. We'll be away in the distance to our left. As we exit the island, the billowing smoke you'll notice coming out of a cement plant there in Checkerhall, St. Lucie. But we continue in a northerly direction over the northern coast of St. Lucia. Now, it is an absolutely clear day. Therefore, the Cap Estates and Groslay will be directly below us. We continue in that direction and we take a left turn over Martinique into the Western Caribbean. On our way to Classics International Airport, the radar is showing that 20 miles east of Hispaniola, there'll be some precipitation, but I can assure you it will be absolutely innocuous as this aircraft is built and designed to stand resolute against the attack of any adversarial weather. So what I'm trying to say to you, though, it will be a smooth flight to Classics International Airport. We got to talk about food, though. Oh, yeah, rotis. Loads of them from 4Play Deli, Sheraton Mall, and you pescatarians. I got good news for you, though. Dolphin curry rotis, how cool is that? Absolutely. I like it a lot. Vegetarian rotis, baked in saltfish. All the like will be served lavishly on our flight to Classics International Airport, along with bottled waters, fresh juices, mango season is back, baby. Oh, yeah. Tamarind lemonade as well will be served. So, yeah, and you know, I'm your ordained minister of classics certified. So it is against that background I'll play you classics that will absolutely bring you rivers of delight on our 3 hour flight. Flight attendants, prepare for departure. Relax and enjoy this ministry of music and information. Let's do it right now. Mary J. Blige is on the flight deck and she's going to lead us out with this album, From My Life. And this song, believe it or not, was produced by PDD. Oh yeah, I can do it better.
Oh,
And this record right now, The Way of the World, This Flight, as you know, is brought to you by 4Play Sheraton Mall on this radio station. The Beat 104 in a class by itself. We'll be back with a very special presentation right after this.
Trini Guyanese cuisine at its best.
4Play Deli's got it.
We've got that taste you won't forget.
4Play Deli.
Oh, how we aim to please ya. We wrap the rotis in front of ya. Great service with a smile. Got your taste buds going wild. Rice and beef, salt, fish, chicken, lamb, and doubles on the list. You just can't refuse it at 4Play Deli. We got the taste you won't forget.
4Play Deli, located at Sheraton Mall.
Like a comet blazing across the evening sky, gone too soon. Like a rainbow fading in the twinkling of an eye, gone too soon. Shining, sparkling, and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Like the loss of sunlight on a cloudy afternoon.
Now, the horrific death of 11-year-old Adriana Young at the Doubleday Hotel in Tushan, West Bank, Essequibo, Guyana, over a week ago has not only sent shock waves across the country, but it has quite frankly provoked an immeasurable response from Guyanese citizens living abroad, as well as from thousands of people across the international world who have all expressed their outrage on various social media platforms. I have to say, though, that the death of an 11-year-old speaks to the heart of even the heartless in the most profound way. The question is, everyone is asking, what could little Adriana have done to deserve the kind of ultimate and sobering retribution she has so viciously received? On behalf of the Guyanese community here in Barbados, I'd like to express my sincerest condolences to her parents, relatives, and friends. And in so doing, hope that justice is swiftly served. It is therefore against that background that senior Guyanese journalist Enrico Wolford is joining me now live from Georgetown to discuss this incredibly disturbing story. Good afternoon, Enrico. I appreciate you coming on board Flight to Classics to essentially share your thoughts on this disturbing event, the death of 11-year-old Adriana Young. Now, Enrico, your journey as a career journalist has been illustrious, to say the least. You would have covered several emerging stories out of Guyana, ranging from politics to crime over four decades. Having said that, how would you rate this story?
I think this is a disastrous, tragic story. And it reflects the challenges of a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious, plural society that Guyana is. That is not to say that there are not other plural societies in the world, but Guyana has this unique instance of persons who were brought here and persons who came against their will, and that fight as to who is responsible for what and how the system was set up has created various conflicts over the years. This particular tragic situation with this young lady, Adriana Young, has caused people to reflect, but has also caused people to go into their various cultural, ethnic cocoons from time to time, and political cocoons from time to time, based on what was coming out. What is very clear, though, Phil, and all your listeners, is that this particular case, this particular matter, suffered from what I'm calling maximum administrative negative delay that allowed for lawlessness, and to a point, it allowed for persons to do things that should not have been done and could not have been done had systems been in place early enough to deal with this matter. And I think that is the disaster. The tragedy is that of the parents, how the parents who allowed their child to go in the care of grandparents and others, and in a place that has had a reputation for not handling these kind of matters expeditiously and effectively, and they are now suffering. The family, the parents are now suffering from what has happened. And unfortunately, what has happened, we cannot unhappen, as they say in Shakespeare. But what we can do is ensure that systems are put in place to make sure that this kind of tragedy does not happen again.
Now, Enrico, I'd like you to take, for a moment, if you will, take the journalistic equation out of this and be the father, the uncle, the humanitarian that you are. And in so doing, put into context those daunting images we all witnessed of a father, as both you and I are, in the midst of desperate tears, literally dragging the lifeless body of his 11-year-old daughter out of that swimming pool of the hotel last Thursday. What was your reaction, and how did it actually speak to your emotions?
It tugged at my emotions, because, as you said, Phil, any father could find himself in that position. And here is the tragic part of it. The tragic part of it is, While the father was outside, there was no indication that that child was in the pool, or still in the pool, or was in the pool to begin with, other than when the day before, when the grandmother said that she went to the poolside. And that is what is the hard part. That no doubt when he jumped into the pool himself, he may have been thinking, I have no idea, this is just an opinion, this is just from a father, language that I can't use on a Sunday, how this did she end up in here and floating in the position that she was floating? And that's the hard part.
Absolutely.
That is the hard part.
No, Enrico, to your earlier point,
It is always difficult for me to deal with the emotion of being just a person, just a human being, and having to be a journalist, where you're forced to be objective. I always remember my mother, who was a nurse, and she said many times as a nurse, you have to take yourself out of
the equation,
the position, and just use the nursing skills that you have to see what you can do. Because if you got too emotionally involved, you may end up being overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't want to be overwhelmed, and that's why I didn't go down that road.
Now, Enrico, it is alleged that the police that were deployed at the hotel denied the victim's father access to the building to search for his daughter. Now, there is a view that this represents an act of conspiracy. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts on that are very clear. That's where I began. If there was any other example of maximum administrative negative delay, that assisted lawlessness was that. And the lawlessness was from the people who are supposed to enforce the law. Now, I'm a member of the public. I have a child who went into a space that is also used by the public, paid for that space, and then the police officers have the audacity, the temerity, to say that I can't go in there and check. And listen to this, Phil, and all the other people listening in. Not to say that they themselves were checking. And that was the annoying part of it. They ought to have been checking. Now, standard operating procedure should be this. If there's no lifeguard on duty, the sign clearly says most pools have that. You're swimming at your own risk. But once an unnatural and unusual occurrence happens, then the emergency medical technicians, the police, the fire service, whoever, will then come in and follow standard operating procedure. And that is what is annoying, to see that the police appear to be protecting more the property of the owners, right? Than they were protecting the life, if they were still alive, of the person who went missing. They were not protecting the parents. They were not looking after their interests. And I really don't care what anybody says to me, and whether, as they say in the new jargon, whether they come for me or not. To me, this was a clear breakdown of procedure, and I can't emphasize it enough.
And now this is important, Enrico. What do you make of the misinformation that the victim had been taken from the hotel by a suspect in a black car who had been subsequently apprehended and detained by the police in West Demerara for over 12 hours before being released? What do you make of that?
Again, that adds insult to injury. That tells you that the police were contemptuous, as you said, as you suggested, if not part of a conspiracy.
Well,
deflect, deceive, diminish, and to a point demean the life.
Yeah, those are very powerful.
The person and the parents. And here is why I'm saying it. And again, they could come to me, they could sue me for libel and so on. If they feel upset about it or slander. But the truth is the truth. How many times haven't we heard, and that's why they have innocence projects around the world, haven't we heard of stories where the police tell you that they've gone this way, they've gone that way, this has happened, a person pulled up pulled out a shiny object from their waist and that's why they got shot, your taillight wasn't working, that's why I stopped you, when the police themselves know that not to be true. No, here's a challenge. If you had employed the standard operating procedure for a missing person, there was absolutely no need to deflect. There was absolutely no need to deceive. There was absolutely no need to come up with inaccurate information. The vice president, the leader of the ruling party, and a former president himself called for the videotape to review it. No? And up to now, nobody's been able to produce this tape of this girl going into a car. No?
Very sad.
No. Here we have a problem. And now, now that the body has been found, we then go back and do what I like to call a Procrustean bed. We then cut things to suit the original narrative or a narrative that we want to put out there. The police in this case, and I say it without hesitation, I say it with conviction, the police were a colossal failure in this matter.
I just want to move on to the next point because this is like to the point you just made. There have been allegations in the past of nefarious and despicable events such as this one, which occurred at the Days Inn Hotel that were either concealed or never investigated. Do you have any insight into those allegations?
I know of one allegation that went to the court system, and that again, when you, on reflection, are looking at it in hindsight, that one allegation is what is prompting the kind of reaction that we are getting in the country. Because, again, had that been handled differently back then, persons would have said, probably it was an accident. Mm. You follow where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
No, the history of a place, if you know that the place has a question mark over it, there is an even more urgent need for the police to take specific and strict procedures, put them in place, and make sure that, as Guyanese and a lot of people like to say, that you leave no stone unturned.
Well,
But what we did was simply shed stones away.
Well, and to your point, if there had been plausible inference of conspiracy, as you said, all that you're saying is null and void. But I want to move on to another aspect of this conversation. And I want to talk about the fire that broke out in a section of the building. Now, there had been all kinds of conjecture and speculation regarding who set the fire and indeed the motive behind it. What's your assessment?
Look, I've been reviewing the videotapes, right? And what is clear to me is that there was smoke emanating, or something that appeared to be smoke emanating from a room. That guess who was in front of the room? A policeman. Now, the normal reaction, you don't have to be a policeman. Is smoke blowing behind you? or a cloud of whatever blowing behind you, your normal reaction.
Call the fire service, right?
Is to turn around and try to identify where it's coming from.
Exactly.
If you've been an entertainer, if it's dry, the dry ice thing that you use for entertainment, you know that's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
You know? If it's some entertainment thing, you know that's where it's coming from. Then you do your tendency is not to look. Because you already know.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point.
Mm-hmm.
If it is smoke, then tall grass nagapata, everybody saw it.
Yeah.
And why the policeman himself didn't see it?
Because he was probably wearing dark glasses.
Did you wear it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to talk about this though, because this is even more disturbing. I'm hearing that there has been political grandstanding in the aftermath of this unfortunate tragedy. Having said that, what has been the response from the political hierarchy in Guyana?
From which side, the government side or the opposition?
Well, I know there had been posturing, I noticed, but I'm wondering the side of the government. What are they saying?
The government seemed to be saying two things from my point. That they will, from the president, they will make sure that the process will work, there will be a proper investigation, they will assist the family to bring closure to this particular tragic event. On the other hand, just following this government, this business, this particular party in government in power for over nearly 50 years, you also have to look at what they're telegraphing by their own people, what the narrative, the underlying narrative is. And their own people, their supporters, their trolls, their apologists, their writers, and what have you, are throwing out various snippets of trying to blame the victim, blame the family, blame the grandmother, saying it was just an accident, saying that people should just quiet down and bring closure and go on with their business.
As usual, yeah.
You know, and again, that is part of the tragedy. Our problem in Guyana over the years, Phil, is systems, or our systems. We don't allow them to work. We really don't. Nothing annoys me in Guyana like somebody who calls me and says, you know anybody working at
the passport office?
Anybody working at the power company? You know anybody working at the water system? You know, it tells me, as now I'm putting on another hat, as one of the persons who helped start from Transparency International chapter in Guyana, that our systems do not work. If I got to ask a favor to get things done, there was a point of having the thing in there to begin with.
Yeah. But Enrico, we have to move on very quickly because time is coming up against us. I want to talk about the post-mortem results. Now, the post-mortem results concluded that the victim died by drowning. But people are confounded as to why there wasn't a press conference involving the pathologists to essentially relay their findings and perhaps take questions from the press, considering how sensitive the nature of this investigation is. What are your thoughts? What is your take?
I agree that there should have been some kind of response, some kind of interaction with from the pathologist with the press, so that the information that they have could be transmitted to the public. You wouldn't get me to say, though,
okay,
that science doesn't work. If the scientific aspect of what the pathologists have done points to a certain outcome, for now, I will say that let the science work. Okay, now what you have to do is, as various persons, including Dr. Dexter Todd, who is also an attorney and a forensic expert, so to speak, within Canada. Well, he studied forensic science. That it's the manner of the death that is more important at this point. Where did the person die? How did the person die? Why did the person die? I don't know that the pathologist keeping a press conference would have been able to explain that. The other forensic investigators will have to do that, but I agree with you that if there were a press interaction, then it would be a lot more meaningful. But I want to put in a little piece here. Yesterday, the president was at a brunch for World Press Freedom Day. You had various journalists there, mostly journalists who are younger, and some of them work for state organizations and so on. Would you believe, Phil, that the Commissioner of Police was there? The National Security Advisor was there? The Army Chief was there? And I'm waiting to see if any journalist or guidance would say, brackle them with regard to standard operation procedure and question them on the sidelines of that. The Commissioner of Police hasn't come out and spoken on this matter so far. The National Security Advisor made a post saying sad. What arrangements we have if, God forbid, a ferry, and you know Guyana has a lot of rivers,
A lot of rivers.
Or,
from Carentine to Berbice. Bataro River, Mazruni River.
Water taxi going across the Demerara River, the Berbice River, or the Skiver River. The boat goes. What, with a number of people, not one or two, do we have a body with divers who will immediately be mobilized to go in and this is how we deal with it? Nothing like that these men are talking about. And the press should hold them, because that is why they're in those positions. The press should hold them. You count for what happened at Touche.
All right. We have to move on. I want to ask you this question. Now, has anyone been detained by the police for questioning in connection with the death of Adriana Lord? Has anyone been arrested and detained by the police for questioning?
The proprietor, according to the police, the proprietor of the Double D Hotel, he was detained.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said after the specified time that the law allows, I think it's 72 hours. I might be wrong about that.
He was released.
Hold that against me. He was released. Then they said that he was blacklisted. Now, according to how I know the story, is that you really can't blacklist somebody unless you go to the court and say, look, there is, we want to make sure this person doesn't travel out of the country or what have you. But the police are in charge of immigration, I guess. They can arrogate those rights for themselves. So they said immigration will stop the person if they're going to break the port of entry or exit. Right? the police officer in charge of the operation, Mr. Mandal, he was sent on administrative leave. At first, they just transferred him, then the place blew up, and he was then sent on administrative leave. And the persons, some of the policemen, are under house arrest. But guess who were dismissed? A constable and a corporal. The lowest ranking people in the chain. That tells us about accountability. The lowest ranking people, knock them off.
Right. So, to your point, there have been innumerable allegations of questionable behavior by some members of the Ghana Police Force, especially as it relates to integrity. Now, to what extent does this latest incident bring the image of the Ghana Police Force and, by extension, the reputation of the Commission of Police into disrepute?
Force needs to get its act together.
No, Mom. Enrico, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, there are now fears, heightening fears, rather, of civil unrest in Guyana. Those incredible images of conflict that you just alluded to. You know, it was quite difficult to watch, to be honest. Now, what in your judgment does the Erfanali administration now need to do in order to restore the peace and social stability that has been, well, have been fundamentals regarding how the history of Guyana?
Tell the truth.
Oh, tell the truth. Whoa. Okay. Yeah, indeed. Now, Adriana will be laid to rest tomorrow. What do you think her funeral will be like?
Well, it's going to be very emotional. It's going to be extremely emotional. The family has asked for privacy or privacy, is depending on which part of the Atlantic you're on. Mm-hmm. And we should respect the family's wishes. Mm-hmm. And that there should be no protest. The funeral should go on as a point of departure, as a point of closure for the family. Mm-hmm. It's very clear, particularly the father, mm-hmm. needs to have some kind of counsel. I'm very Absolutely. Happy that at least some of the religious bodies, I don't know if you saw a release from the Georgetown Ministers Fellowship. That, to my mind, was one of the better crafted statements as to how to deal with this matter and how to deal with the family. As the father said, it's not justice must be served, and even if there were compensation or damages or what have you, that should not be factored into the equation at the moment, but a proper investigation needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And everybody clear, and the truth be brought out in a transparent and accountable manner.
Indeed. Now, I want to ask you this last question in this segment. You know, it will be extremely peculiar to use the word legacy in reference to the life of an 11-year-old girl. But I suppose I could ask you, how would her death be that instrument of change regarding the ways in which parents in Guyana supervise the safety of their children? And moreover, how would this tragedy, you know, which quite frankly mentally traumatized all of us, transform the mindset of Guyanese police officers as it relates to the oath of service and protection?
I believe that Adriana Young will and has galvanized, mobilized, and energized a particular section or most of the country into the need for protocols, procedures, and proper systems with regard to a missing person. And one of the challenges is that sometimes we move from one extreme to the other. Now, the police has put out a protocol or a procedure saying that as soon as somebody's missing, you plaster the face on the in the press and you do it. Unfortunately, the member of parliament, Jermaine Figuera, he proposed a motion that was quite admirable, where, you know, their alerts, the Adriana alerts, so to speak, like the Amber Alert in the United States, you have an Adriana alert where once something like this happens, everybody's alerted, so you won't get that kind of stupidness, as Guyanese would say, that she went into a bus and she coming from far feet and she gone here, she gone there. People will know that is not true right away. So yes, it will galvanize, mobilize, and I said energize persons into seeking protocols, dealing with the systemic failures and making sure that this doesn't happen again. And it is the hope that, from my point of view, that as a country, we learn to deal with objective truth, if there is such a thing. We've suffered from it in the past in various ways, from various sides of the political divide and sometimes even the religious divide and the cultural divide. But we should try to, as a country, heal, as a country, move forward. We can't move forward if we continue to not learn to deal with our traumas. And, you know, the Chinese suffered. The Guyanese suffered. Various persons from various backgrounds suffered. And we need to move ahead. And the only way we can do that is if we have proper, working, transparent, accountable systems.
Well said. Now, Enrico, we are now in the twilight of our conversation. So the last couple of minutes we have, I want to digress into another area of concern in Guyana. Now, people are saying that despite the discovery of oil in the Essequibo River, and the millions of U.S. dollars coming into the Guyanese economy as a result of the partnership with ExxonMobil, Guyanese are largely impoverished as the gap between the rich and the poor has ironically widened despite a booming economy. How would you respond to that?
Everybody who knows me will know that I begin the answer to that question. There was once a country called Nauru. There is still a country called Nauru. Nauru from 1977 to 1987 was one of the richest, fastest growing economies in the world. Why? Because it had an enormous deposit of phosphate that's used for fertilizer and what have you. And Nauru was supposed to set up a sovereign wealth fund and to make sure things. Go Google Nauru. N-A-U-R-U.
I remember that to do that, yeah.
And see what has happened to that country. Fastest growing economy. So we all compare Dubai and, you know, this and that and so on. But you have to manage what you have. And you cannot appear like the aliens in Independence Day, the movie Independence Day, where you just come in like locusts. Eat what you can eat, and then move on. And we have to stop seeing Ghana as a transit country for enriching ourselves, for aggrandizement, and see it as a country where we will live to the end of our days and leave a legacy for our children, and our children's children.
Now,
build generational wealth and make sure that whatever we have now, we can sustain it. We must not go the way of Nauru.
Okay. Now, Guyana is one of the, is the one South American country which in which domestic production, especially fruits, vegetables, sugar, rice, outweighs that of domestic consumption. Now, if this is the case, Enrico, why then is there such high inflation?
No, I'm not an economist. I can't posit a position on that. But what I can say is at the level of food production and being the food basket and being the oil-producing country and minerals and what have you. We also have to make sure that within our common market that we get a fair shake. I don't want to knock my favorite country in the Caribbean that you're in, because really most of my ancestors come from there, Barbados. But we also have to make sure that we import CARICOM goods first.
Especially now.
When I'm on a plane, I always remember that they say in their likely event that we lose cabin pressure. Put on your own mask first before attending to others in your care. So the Caribbean people need to put on their own mask first, use the resources that they have within the region, you know, buy Guyana's rice, buy Guyana's sugar, buy Guyana's tomatoes, buy our sweet potatoes and so on, and use those resources for our tourist industry.
Well,
and ourselves within the region.
Well,
and that is another conversation.
Well, Enrico, that has quite frankly been the message coming from our leaders in light of this the tariffs that will be are to be imposed upon us, and which will clearly cause us some what we call some economic concussion, if you like. But I want to move on to the very, very.
Why do we have to wait for tariffs? Arrow said that nearly how many 40 years ago. Burnham said that. Bird said that. Manley said that. You know, Eric Williams said that. Chetty Jagan said that.
But
come on.
Because it is the nature of us to wait until something happens before we make something happen. That is the nature of us. But having said that, this is the final question because we got to go now. Vice President Barak Jagdeo made a statement recently described as both disingenuous and insensitive. Choose which one you like. He essentially said that when we are talking about places in the world, we have to speak about Paris and New York, as Barbados is just sea and sand. Now, what was your reaction when you heard it? And to what extent could it be the arrogance of oil?
Vice President Barajandu, former President Barajandu, tends to be a little contemptuous, and that is an understatement at times. And he runs off his mouth sometimes before he puts the other parts of his mental faculties in place. I get that impression.
Okay.
You know, but that's his form of politicking.
Yeah.
But it was a content statement.
Yeah, it really was.
It ought not have been said. And I think he attempted to correct it. Persons attempted to correct it, but what he meant was, you know, the persons that he was trying to demean, diminish, and denigrate could both, if they went a longer distance than just down the road to the beautiful island of Barbados.
Well, you know something, I would perceive the euphemism he tried to use, quite frankly, as a further insult of our intelligence, to be honest, especially when he said, we all be being very hyperbolic regarding our response. I thought that was unfortunate. But anyway, thank you so much for your perspective, Enrico. And I appreciate your time. I mean, a whole lot of information we heard from a journalist down there that no one in Barbados has heard. So I'm delighted to have had you on the flight this afternoon. Thank you so much. And until further notice, when something crazy happens again, I'll definitely be reaching out to you. Thank you so much and have a good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Phil.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was an absorbing conversation from our Guyanese correspondent, Enrico Wolfert, senior journalist. And he gave an in-depth analysis of the death of young Adriana Young. You know what I'm saying? He spoke about all different issues involving credibility of the police. He spoke about the funeral. He spoke about the Ghana response. He spoke about the political response. And lastly, he was speaking about the oil and Ghana economy. So we thank him for that. And I hope that information meant something to all of our passengers on this flight. We continue right now with the music. And we're going to take you Oh, yeah, Barris Hammond, baby. Good afternoon. In a class by itself.
Trini Guyanese cuisine at its best.
Foreplay Deli's got it.
We've got that taste you won't forget.
Foreplay Deli.
Oh, how we aim to please ya. We wrap the rotis in front of ya. Great service with a smile. Got your taste buds going wild. Rice and beef, salt, fish, chicken, lamb, and doubles on the list. You just can't refuse it at Foreplay Deli. We got the taste you won't forget.
Foreplay Deli, located at Sheraton Mall.
You know, next Sunday is Mother's Day. I want to give a shout out to all the mothers in Barbados and those fathers who have been performing the role of a mother as well, probably due to the adjudication of the court or the death of mom. You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much indeed for the role you're playing in the lives of your children. Yeah? And you guys who have this propensity, though, to wait until last minute to try to get your wife or girlfriend a gift, I implore you this year to get it tomorrow, though. So when it comes to Saturday, you won't be here like scrambling, trying to get her a gift, and you all calling Captain Forrester and making him miserable. Come on, man. I'm not taking any calls about Mother's Day from you at all this year. I ain't saving nobody marriage. I'm not doing it anymore. There you go.
Okay.
I'm not doing it. Okay, let's continue right now with Michael Jackson. The Man in the Mirror. Are we going to play his record?
No, we don't have that. No,
yeah.
That's not on my log.
Okay, you don't have Man in the Mirror.
That's not on my log.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
This one's on my log.
Remember? Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, keep on moving. There oh yeah, go. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Soul to soul, baby. Good afternoon.
So you kiss it back to sleep, and you got to keep moving when you kiss them back to sleep.
That's what's something? Up, baby.
There you go.
The professor is speaking. Baby. Listen, everybody.
There you know.
Oh,
That's Silk the Soul right there. We are now 80 miles southeast of Classics International Airport. We'll be landing shortly. In preparation for landing, please ensure that your seatbelts are securely fastened and your tray tables stowed. Our cabin attendants will be coming around the aisles to retrieve any service items you may have used on board our flight this afternoon. Remember, smoking is strictly prohibited until you exit the terminal building here at Classics International Airport. This is the end of Flight 104 to Classics for today, Sunday, May 4th. It really was an absolute joy bringing it to you. On behalf of my featured guests, Enrico Wolford, Sherma Jacob, and Dr. Dawn Ramsey, this is Captain Forrester saying once again, it was a pleasure bringing this flight to you, and I also want to thank my co-pilot as well for his excellent navigation. So Adriana Young will be laid to rest tomorrow, and I mentioned earlier that there will be rivers of tears in Guyana and right across the world, from the Essequibo River, the Quarantine River, the Abari River, the Rupununi River, and all the massive rivers in Georgetown that will be filled with tears. On behalf of the Guyanese diaspora here in Barbados, I'd like to express my sincerest condolences and to her family as well. And also, there are many Barbadians that will be laid to rest this week as well. Many of them have been heroes of their family, but sadly, they won't be here with us anymore. We would also like to express our condolences to all of you. And in so doing, we'd like to play this record for all of you, Beth Midler and the Beat 104.
Never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walk a step behind. So I was the one with all the I could fly high.
and gentlemen, welcome to Classics International Airport. Local time is approximately 5 p.m. For your safety and comfort, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the captain turns off the fastened seatbelt sign. This will indicate that we have parked at the gate and that it is safe for you to move about. On behalf of the entire crew, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this trip, and we're looking forward to seeing you on board again in the near future. Have a nice day.
Located at Sheraton Mall.
Radio.
The Beach, 104.1 FM.
That's got me feeling this way.
From Barbados.
It beats me black and blue, but it loves me so good, and I can't get enough. Must be love on the brain.
The Caribbean. We are always here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For you. Beat 104.1 FM, where FM means your favorite music.